Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts. Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 1041 FM KMOX, a few minutes past 2 p.m. So I am doing endorsements for my friend Mark Cantor, Cantor Injury Law. We invited him to come in today and just kind of hang out. Good to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for the swag, the Cantor swag. I love it.
Good. I hope you wear it.
I don't own an umbrella.
Well, that's a big umbrella.
Yeah.
So. Well, now you do, Dave.
I don't know that I've ever owned an umbrella.
Really?
I'm a grown man.
Huh.
How do I not have an umbrella?
Today's the day for it.
Yeah, there you go.
Mark it on the calendar.
Took me 60 years to get my first umbrella. Now I'm going to go crazy. That's going to become my new thing.
You're going to be like
Mary
Poppins.
Walking around with it.
I'm going to be on eBay twirling it around like a cane.
It's going to be 80 and sunny out there, and you're just going to use it as a parasol.
So let's start with this. Just introduce yourself to the audience. Just anything you want to tell us. Like, you can go back as far as you want to go back in Cantor world.
Thank you. I'm really proud to be from Missouri. My family's from here. My dad is a retired pediatric neurologist. Hmm. And he instilled the love of helping people. And I think what I do is an extension of that. We keep the community safe at Cantor Injury Law. I've been doing it for 31 years. Mm-hmm. And I love the people I represent. And I, you know, I live here, I work here, I play here. Like, we're the real deal in Missouri, as opposed to some of those folks that are advertising now that are just collecting cases and aren't really from here.
Yeah. Not to crap on anybody, but people need to realize it's become a business model that you could go to Seattle or you could go to New York and buy advertising if you're licensed there and appear to be a New Yorker. And so that's what a lot of attorneys do now. They have offices in every state.
Right. I mean, it's a smart business model. They've copied after these insurance companies that are massive insurance companies that are in the business to make money. Mm-hmm. And their business model is working. But on a micro level, on an individual level, when you're hiring a lawyer, you got to say, you know, who's really going to be going to court for me? Who's really here? And who is just advertising to collect the cases? And that's a big difference. There are a lot of great lawyers in Missouri. I have friends that do exactly what I do, and I think they're excellent. And at the top of the food chain in Missouri and Southern Illinois, we collaborate. We work with each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the players know who the players are. And when you see these people advertising, you got to be buyer beware. You got to look and ask, you know, who's got the reputation.
That is impossible to overstate. In my 10 years of practicing and then just my 25 years of doing this, whether it's you with injury law or it's Susan L. Ward with divorce law, who you know and who knows you and what they think of you is so critical. That's all. Half the battle is almost won or lost when a defense attorney gets a new lawsuit and they look at it and they go, oh, it's Joe Blow. Don't worry about it too much. Or, oh, it's Cantor. Crap. That happens every single day.
Right. I mean, you've got to be able to go to court. You've got to have the financial wherewithal to fund these cases, because we can spend a fortune hiring experts and doing the things that we need to do to win. And then you got to have boots on the ground, and you've got to have the wherewithal and the spine to do it. And some lawyers just don't.
Yeah. Did you sniff around being a doctor at all with your dad being a neurosurgeon?
You know, it's funny. I am I'm the biggest disappointment in the family.
It's a good family.
Know, if you can't be successful, you know, if you can't be a doctor, then be a lawyer. But actually, my parents, thank God they're still living and great. I talked to my dad on the way down here. I have a brother and a sister, and they're both lawyers.
Uh-huh.
So the doctor raised three lawyers.
How about and, that?
Yeah.
How about
so
that?
That's the family joke is that if you were smart, you'd be a doctor.
Yeah, I always say, like, I was probably smart enough to be a doctor, but I would have been your favorite doctor whose your father died under my care, right? And like, oh, that Dr. Dave, he's the best. He's so funny, but I would have killed your dad. I mean, I just don't have that gear. As you know, doctors, growing up with a neurosurgeon, they have a gear.
Right.
It's just different.
I love the compassion that my father has, and I mimic that. And he was a pediatric neurologist.
Yeah.
He served this community.
Wonderful.
You know, Cardinal Glennon Hospital, and he still does grand rounds, and he's just a very loving, nice person. And, you know, so the idea of helping people is critical to my practice, but, you know, the biology and the math,
yeah.
And I'd much rather fight with someone than,
yeah.
You know.
So let's talk about it coming from like the everyman standpoint, because everyone out there sees tons of television commercials for lawyers. And for the most part, they say kind of the same thing. What is it they should really be focusing on? What is really important when you're sussing out whether to hire you or this one or this one?
So ability. So, and you want to look at the team, where they are and what they're able to do. Look at the verdicts. Look at their ratings. Are they AVO rated? Are they AV rated, which is the Martindale Hubbell's level of preeminent lawyers for both ethics and ability.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud to be both AV rated and have a perfect 10 on the AVO score. And, you know, do they try cases? Do they file lawsuits? Do they go to court? I'm blessed that now I have a large law firm and I have lots of lawyers that have boots on the ground every day. But on the big cases, you know, that's what I like to do and dig into them. And I actually have two partners now, Brian Weinbright, who's brilliant, and Kevin Glenn, who was on the defense for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you get a little bit older and more mature in this business, it's nice to bring these young lawyers and up and give them an interest,
yeah.
As well as many other lawyers and many, many paralegals.
What do you look for when you're hiring someone and you have five people applying for the position? Like, is it pretty much trust your gut, or is it a resume piece? What do you look for when hiring lawyers?
Well, the cream rises, right? So the best of the best. So really, we hired a lot of people, and some people don't make it. They just don't have the grit and the determination. And, you know, it's a stressful business. You're fighting for a living. The smart ones, the ones with the grit and determination do. And that's how you get an interest, and that's how you become both my close friend and confidant,
yeah.
And partner. And these guys have earned it, and they're excellent lawyers. I'm really proud of the firm that we've created here. We're all local. We're from Missouri and Southern Illinois. You know, Erica Beecher has been my paralegal for 15 years. She's the office manager. I've watched all of her kids grow up. Amber Baker runs our workers' compensation department. I watched her and her kids and her husband, you know, for their children's entire lives.
Yeah.
And Abby Peterson is our business manager. I mean, these people they're not just coworkers. These are people that I see every day, and I love them. I mean, you know, and they're here, and they care about our clients. And we're in a service industry. So we have to take care of our people. And I think we do that. So I think that what you want is a combination of intellect, ability, wherewithal, and empathy. And that's the way you get a good personal injury law firm.
Is there a subgenre of injury law that you personally, Mark Cantor, have always been drawn toward?
So, you know, I really like trucking collisions, car accidents, and workers' comp. I mean, that's your bread and butter. That's the core of our business. And we handle a lot of those. And so, yeah, I'm you know, in Missouri, you're not allowed to say that you're an expert in
right.
things, but we have a lot of expertise. I think that, you know, to the layperson, you'd say those guys are experts because it's all we do. But
mm-hmm.
the bar doesn't let you right. call yourself an expert.
Right.
So, so saying it like a lawyer, we have a lot of expertise in those areas.
Yeah. One thing when I see other lawyers advertising that I do agree with is to be very careful about talking to insurance companies on your own. Having represented them for most of my career when I was a defense attorney, like, they're not bad people. You just have to know what they're trying to do. They've got a job.
They've got a bad motive. So their motive, they might be super nice people, but their motive in calling you and getting that recorded statement is to lock you into a position that saves them money. They're fighting your case from the moment they get it. And this is a billion-dollar insurance company in certain cases. And they're calling you, and they're getting a recorded statement, and they're asking you to sign things. And then later, their lawyer's going to take your deposition, which is a sworn statement under oath you're aware of, but your audience may not be. So they take your sworn statement, and then they compare it to your prior recorded statement or to a handwritten note and then to your medical records. And they're trying to create doubt in front of a jury when you're, you know, you just lost your leg in a car accident. You know, you're on medication and in pain and you're lying there in the hospital and some insurance adjuster comes and shoves a microphone in your face and wants to take a recorded statement. You need to stop and think, you know, what's going on here. And there's a lot of great lawyers. It doesn't have to be Cantor injury law. I mean, I would hope that it would be, but they need to be represented. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise they're going to get cheated by a billion-dollar insurance company that's fighting some little, you know, and they might only have $100,000 of insurance. And you might cut off your underinsured motorist claim or your uninsured motorist claim or your homeowner's insurance claim or the umbrella policy. You don't, you know, you've got to look at all the stacks of insurance and make sure that you get them all. And you really need a lawyer to do that because you're simply outgunned without representation.
So I'm just curious, almost personally, when I was practicing all those many years ago, St. Louis City was a venue people, plaintiff's attorneys wanted to be in. Southern Illinois, Madison County, St. Clair County, St. Louis County, and not so much. Have those things stayed largely the same or have they flipped a little bit?
I think largely the same. The verdicts in the city are going to be significantly better than in the county or St. Charles. But you know what? A good case is a good case, wherever it is. And you can take very conservative people that aren't likely to give a large verdict. But if they get hot and they get angry, and a lot of these defendants, the person you're suing, deserves that anger or their insurance companies. You know, Missouri, you don't get to tell the jury that there's insurance. So you know that, of course. But your listeners may not. I mean, you don't get to say, hey, it's not really this guy that we're suing that's going to pay. It's, you know, State Farm, Allstate, American Family, Safeco, you know, AIG. It's
so
one of those.
We're going to have you on often. We'll cover everything when it comes to personal injury cases. But let's start today. You only got a couple minutes left here, but it's such an important topic, comparative negligence.
So comparative fault, Missouri's a pure comparative fault state, which means that if you're 99% at fault, and the defendant is 1% at fault, and you have $100,000 worth of damages, you can get $1,000 for their 1%. And so that's what comparative fault means. So that means that you don't have to be completely free of liability. But if it's 80% the other guy's fault and it's 20% yours, in Missouri, you win. Now, in Illinois, if you're more than 50% at fault, you're out. And so there's a lot of debate about what the law should be and where it is. And but that's where it is in Missouri. Yeah. We're a pure comparative fault state.
One last thing, because clearly, frankly, we want people to call you. But if someone's sitting at home, they've been injured, but they're a tough guy and they don't want to look like not a tough guy. They don't want to look like they need help. What can we tell them to encourage them? Err on the side of getting help.
Right. So after an injury, it's usually the guys that are like that. They don't want to complain and they don't want to be litigious. They're saying, I'm not so happy. What I tell them is you're still a tough guy, but now's not the time to be tough because someone else caused these harms and losses and the insurance company doesn't care. They want to save all the money they can. So in a year, if your opinion changes of that, on that, and you haven't gotten the medical care that you need, I'm not telling anyone to go and get fraudulent medical care. In fact, I don't want any fraudulent cases in my office. I don't want the BS claim where there's no injury and
hurts your reputation.
Hurts my reputation. There's certain firms that are trying to collect all of those and advertise for them all, and they're a huge machine, and they want the $3,000 ridiculous and case. I think that case damages our system, and I won't take it. But if you have a real case, like the person that you just described, it's not the time to be the tough guy. You know, if someone else caused that harm and you need to be compensated for it. And it's not a get rich quick scheme. It's get what you're owed. It's compensation. It's not to unduly weight it. It's to get back to where you were. And sometimes that's $100,000, and sometimes it's, you know, $20 million. You know, that's up to a jury.
Yeah.
And not to the insurance company.
If you or someone who you know and care about has been injured or, God forbid, is in the future, know that you have help. You can call Mark at 314-628-9999 or just remember Cantor, C-A-N-T-O-R, CantorInjuryLaw.com. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. And remember, the choice of a lawyer is an important decision. So shop around and don't base it solely upon advertisements. But I'm happy to help anyone that calls. There's no emergency like a new case.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to DGS224. You know how Everest is now just a bunch of orthodontists climbing? They are instituting a new rule, which I think is great, that to get a permit to climb Everest, you have to, I believe it's only one, could be multiple, but you have to at least summited one 23,000-foot peak.
All right, so there's some qualification.
There's some qualification.
There should be to climb the biggest mountain in the world.
Yes.
Right?
And that's been the problem, is we've all seen the videos and the photos of people just stacked for hundreds and hundreds of yards trying to get to the top of Everest, and most of them have very little of any experience. And the Sherpas are just dragging their asses up there.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's not that it doesn't take work, but you should absolutely have done that before.
Yes, before going to
let's go straight to the biggest one.
Yeah. It's like if you could drive in the Indy 500, but you'd never been in a car like
you've
that.
You've never driven an Indy car before.
Right.
That'd be a little bit dangerous.
Probably about the same amount of dangerous.
Okay, this is the point, right? It's like that's one of the things that happens is the people themselves, the climbers themselves are at risk, but then that also puts the Sherpas and some of the other experts at risk too.
Yeah.
And why take the risk? Just do something similar.
Beppy says, Dave, you ever bummed that it got douchey before you climbed it? Beppy, I never would have climbed it.
Yeah.
I know my limitations. And even if I could have done it physically, I don't know if I have the stones for it. I don't know if I have the guts.
Yeah. There was a time
I would have done
I
it, but I guess I'm just different.
Yeah. There was a time when I probably... Stones.
Yeah, I guess I could be, you know... If it wasn't so lame now, I would totally do it.
Yeah. No, there was a time I probably would have, like, I was dumb, though. I mean, like, when I was in my 20s, I basically would have done anything. But I don't know that I would have succeeded in seeing the films that I've seen and looking at the video and all that. I don't know if I would have succeeded at it.
I would love...
I mean, that looks like one of the most physically taxing things you can do.
I had a friend of mine who's a big mountain climber, and she's summited many, many peaks, but she climbed to base camp, which I believe is 21,000 feet, which is, you know, twice as high as I've ever... No, not quite. I've been 13, 14. But that looks pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, you still have to acclimatize, and it's still rigorous, and you get to go to base camp, but the real danger is when you go up from there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, not that it isn't, but it just looks like a terribly long trek.
Yes.
Yeah. Who has the time?
Well...
Mm-hmm.
Joel's bringing up the guy who had to be rescued on Mount Fuji twice in 1 week because he was looking for his phone.
Yeah.
Idiot. Idiot.
I don't be mean, but just leave him up there. I mean
well, after the third time's the charm at that point, it's like, all right, you obviously just want to be.
Oh, you definitely send him the bill. Right?
Yeah, I think you send the bill to everybody.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Whether it's a boat, yeah. Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX 233. Happy Tuesday. Okay, I've been dreading this. I don't want to do it, but I feel like I don't have a choice. The new Roman Empire is, could 100 men kill a silverback gorilla?
In hand-to-hand combat.
In hand-to-hand combat.
Right, like obviously we've done that with guns and stuff.
No weapons.
Yeah.
You just got to fight the gorilla.
Yeah.
First of all, the gorilla would be super... confused.
Yeah, why are all these people trying to fight me?
Yes.
Yeah.
He'd be like, whoa, I thought we were on the same side here.
Right.
Thought we were cousins. Come on now.
I don't even understand why this is a debate. 100 men? You better be able to take down one gorilla.
Nope. Could not happen.
I'm going
to
say
100 to 1.
So could not happen.
But one's a gorilla.
I've gone back and forth on this 3 or 4 times, right? Because the first reaction was, oh, gorilla, of course. And then I started listening and like, yeah, but you know, 100 guys, this is the problem with this argument or this conversation is we got to set parameters, right? Are they soldiers? Are they MMA fighters? Are they average guys?
Don't matter.
It could, but the argument that started to sway me a little bit was, hey, 100 guys could use a plan and tactics and distractions and, you know, do all these things and maybe wear the gorilla down and do it. And then I saw a biologist talk about it. He's like, man, you can't hurt it. You can't hurt it. You can't break its bones because they're 8 times as dense as human bones. You can't hurt them with a punch because their muscles and their skin are so thick that he won't even feel it. You can't get up and like gouge his eyes because he'll bite your arm off. And they are so strong. Like how much? I saw this yesterday and I was shocked. If there was some way to test it and say this gorilla is going to bench press, how much do you think a gorilla could bench press?
1,000 pounds.
4,000 pounds.
Okay.
They can lift a 1,300 pounds, just like pull it off the ground while they're standing. They have the 5th strongest bite of any animal on the planet.
You know a lot about this topic.
I looked it up because all of this stuff, this conversation got in my head. It became my new Rome.
And if a gorilla hits you...
You're dead.
You're dead. It doesn't matter where or how or with what part of the gorilla's body. If he hits you, you are dead.
Their grip strength, they can crush your skull just by grabbing your head and squeezing. That's how strong their grip is. Now...
Rachel disagrees.
After learning all of this stuff, it is a fascinating thing that would never happen because, first of all, you'd have to have 100 dudes that don't care about dying.
Right.
Because at least half are dying. The question is, can the group of 100 outlast the gorilla until it just wears out and then you can take advantage of the fatigue? But I don't know, man. How do you hold down something that's 450 pounds and can bench press 4,000 pounds?
Let's hear Rachel's take. Rachel seems like she disagrees.
I just feel like... Yeah, you're probably going to lose some men. You're going to lose some men.
Yeah, yeah.
But you should be able to all jump on them at the same time.
But you can't. There's not enough space.
Consider this. If you had 100 ants on you, you would not die from the ants because the ants can't hurt you. Like, you could all jump on the gorilla
more to
and start wailing on them.
like, what's more to scale? Like, yeah. 100 cats?
100 little baby kitties are all trying to beat you to death with their hands.
It would be more like, I think, a group of, like, six-year-olds.
I think could 100 six-year-olds could take you?
Yeah, but that's the thing.
If they're Rachel's, from South Roxana, they could.
But listen, Rachel's bones are not eight times as dense as a six-year-old. Her skin is not eight times as dense as a... She does not have the bite strength of 50... Six-year-olds.
The six-year-olds could bite you and break skin. There's nothing we can do with our hands and teeth to break the skin of the gorilla.
Mm. This is why I dreaded this.
But it's now there's two parts to this to me. Like, one is, it is fascinating to go, like, that thing is just special, right? Like, that gorillas are amazing. Like, the fact that this is even a discussion, and it is an actual discussion that experts have kicked around because, of course, it went viral. And there are a lot of people who study gorillas who are saying, like, man, you know, the gorilla's probably going to get you, all 100 of you. But then there are others that are pointing out that, and I think rightfully, that human beings have the advantage of numbers and creativity and strategy in that
And back fight. back to my original joke, and take it out of being a joke, to be a fair fight, the gorilla, you have to assume, is motivated to kill all 100 of you.
Right.
I think if 100 humans jumped on a gorilla, they would mostly just be like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, but I do think their instinct would kick in, right? I mean, if you start charging them, they're going to be in self-defense mode if they feel like there is a threat. Because they charge at humans all the time just because even by you being in their presence, you're a threat. So I don't know that part would be the issue. But then the other question I think is really the interesting one is, what kind of people do we really think we're sending in there?
Yeah.
Because you're going to see the first four guys get their arms torn off and their heads smashed into oblivion, and you're going to go in?
That's too much logic. You're using too much logic.
I think a lot of dudes would be like, all right, yep, I'm good.
The thought experiment presupposes that these men have no fear.
Right.
Nor self-preservation.
But there's no such thing as that.
But neither does the ape.
Well, the ape has less than a human when it comes to how instinct-driven you are versus how thought-driven you are.
So I'm looking at an article that Newsweek did about this, and there is a scenario where the humans could win. It says if the men surround and attack simultaneously, sacrificing some individuals, you could restrain the gorilla. Given enough people grabbing its arms, legs, and head, eventually the gorilla would tire. And then once immobilized, the gorilla could be beaten, though it would still resist ferociously until its last breath.
Jeez.
But, like, this is the thing, though. Like, they didn't consult any experts. Newsweek didn't. They just kind of went off of available print,
information. They asked ChatGPT.
Right. Again, I don't think there's an easy. I don't think there's actually a real answer to this. I don't think there is an answer that's correct. I don't think gorilla wins is correct. I don't think 100 people wins is correct because there are just too many variables. I mean, how long does it take for a gorilla to wear out? How many men? Like, again, are we sending just 100 sociopaths out there or psychos that don't care if they die? Because that's what it takes. You have to not care. So what are you fighting for?
Victory over the gorilla.
Yeah, right.
Like, you want to beat the gorilla.
So the only things that motivate a human being to fight like that are things like a war where you're sent there to, you know, for your country, or you're fighting for your family.
I just don't think you can bring motivation into it.
Like, you have to.
There's no point in doing that. No, because it's a thought experiment.
Well, if there's no motivation, then the humans lose because they're going to quit as soon as they see guys getting their heads ripped off.
But that's the thing. Motivation does not exist. The concept of motivation cannot exist in the world you're making for this thought experiment. You can't even imagine that there could be motivation on either side, humans or gorillas. You have to take fear and motivation, the concepts themselves, out entirely, and it's just a bunch of guys and one guy who's real big, and they just want to wail on each other.
No. Motivation's everything in a fight.
I am uncomfortable with this version of Kevin Wheeler.
We have to get that on a poster and put it up in the office. Motivation is everything in a fight.
I mean, they ain't wrong.
The final verdict from ChatGPT and Newsweek is 100 men could defeat a single adult male gorilla, but it would come at an extreme cost. It would require incredible coordination, courage, like Kevin is saying, and strategic sacrifice. And without careful planning, the gorilla could very well win or cause immense devastation before being overcome.
All right, Frank, you take that group over there. You guys are all dead, so the rest of us can try to trick him.
I'm on the front lines in the war against the single gorilla.
I will say, though, the best,
at what cost is
the
really
best thing about this going viral have been the comments to all of the posts. Whether they're TikToks or tweets or whatever, the comments are the best. Like, one guy's like, yep, me and my buddies, we're going to be out there. We'll be the first ones in line, but we're going to wear suits to make the funerals easier for our families.
You know how we could test this? We could have the DGS and the newsroom fight Kevin.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
you guys are in trouble.
Something close to a silverback right here.
Depends on the motivation.
Yeah, I'm motivated.
Why don't we tell Michael Calhoun that Kevin made fun of his hair?
Well, why would I ever do that? His hair's great.
That'll motivate him.
He
doesn't need to know that.
That's fine.
He knows that you're mercurial.
I need to see Stu fight Kevin. I need to see it real bad.
Why?
100 motivated Stus versus one.
Stu's nice. Why would I want that?
Angry Fight Kevin. Club. I like it.
All right, I'm in.
See, the motivation. You like Stu too much. You're afraid to hurt him.
That's what I'm saying. Motivation matters. Like, I don't want to hurt like somebody that's nice.
Who's someone not nice?
Yeah.
Who would you fight 100 of? 100 Reardons.
Yeah, 100 Reardons.
Yeah, 100 Reardons.
Versus
brother.
One motivated Kevin.
And my brother. But we did that all our lives, so that fight was decided.
Yeah, what that fight 99
were,
more.
What if there were two Kevin brothers versus one Wheeler?
Oh, I think two of them would probably be a fair match.
Wow. Brian says, KMOX versus 97.1 Street Fight.
Oh.
I like that Kevin is implying that he is twice as strong, probably more than twice as powerful as his brother.
It was a joke because my brother's going to be here in a few weeks. I'm going to let you guys bring that up and tell him I said that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Yeah. I'm excited.
He's going to hypnotize one of you guys.
What if you're a normal person
and he made me
hypnotized
this
you like 25 years
that
ago?
That would have been a hell of a play, wouldn't it?
Can't you see? If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply. For three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Fast, but I'm getting closer to the prize at the end of the rope.
Welcome back, DGS and KMOX. So I would need a couple months to train. This rock is very large. Perhaps I could pick up a smaller one. But I think I could defeat 106-year-olds.
Yeah, I think.
Man, I don't know, dude. Those little guys, they bite, man. They fight dirty, and you know where they're going to punch you, man. You ever been around a six-year-old?
It comes down to motivation.
Yeah.
If it's 100, like you go to a grade school and grab 100 six-year-olds, I'm beating them. You take 100 fighters who've been trained, they're going to take me.
Dude, I don't know, man. Six-year-olds are dirty.
Yeah.
You know the first place they're going to punch you, dude.
I'm so callous down there.
I don't know what it is about kids that are 4, 5, and 6, but it's the first thing they want to do.
I just feel like they would come up and they would like sweep your legs out from under you and then you're toast.
I mean, the problem is the 6-year-olds aren't going to be good at strategy. You know, they're 6.
Yeah.
They're getting into a fight.
Here's one.
Idiots.
And I actually had this on my show sheet. Who would win in an all-out gang fight brawl between the McDonald Land characters and the Hostess characters. Remember Fruit Pie the Magician and Twinkie the Kid?
There are
Sir Ding Dong. You don't know about these?
Yeah, no. I remember Sir Ding Dong.
Is Twinkie the Kid a cowboy?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, I know him.
Fruit Pie the Magician.
Well, Hamburglar went away for armed robbery, so he has a gun. So that one,
but
definitely.
They're not allowed to use their weapons.
Yep. He didn't want to go back
because a cowboy would have a gun also.
And Ronald McDonald is, we don't really talk about it much, but Ronald McDonald is huge.
Is he?
I feel like he's like 6 foot something tall. And he's, you know, I mean, he's broad as a brick wall.
But you got a wizard.
The man is buff.
All he's got to do is be like, Experianus, and you're done.
Who's the wizard in the Hostess world?
Fruit Pie.
Yeah, the Fruit Pie wizard.
Okay.
He just make you disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Although if he's not allowed to use that, you know, no weapons, maybe.
Officer Big Mac.
Yeah.
He's got specialized SWAT training.
Yes, he does.
The Fry Guys are going to be all over your face.
Oh, dude.
Mayor McCheese.
Mayor McCheese.
I don't have anything for that one. I just wanted to say Mayor McCheese.
Just want to get it out there?
Just want to make sure we're not forgetting about my boy.
Yeah, I wonder, because I saw a TikTok today with Fruit Pie the Magician and Twinkie the Kid. I wonder if, like, Ho-Ho's had one, you know, if they, like...
I don't want to know what the mascot was.
I can imagine a couple of...
Officer Big Mac is running her in all the time.
I can imagine some Ho-Ho magicians.
Come on, Ho-Ho. Like, it's my name. What am I supposed to do?
So the... there is a mascot called Happy Ho-Ho.
Jeez.
He looks like Mr. Hanky.
I've known, never mind.
Yeah.
Disregard.
Yeah.
He does. Oh, my God. Why? Why were the 70s so weird?
Because everyone was stoned out of their minds.
Why are you making up ridiculous mascots and giving them ridiculous names?
Brian says Grimace would be hard to take down.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got 50 years of rage going.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the brightest, we know that, but we also know that he's very big.
He'd just be throwing haymakers.
Yeah.
All right, so I found the whole list of the Hostess gang.
Let's hear him.
So let's see here. There we go. Oh, it's a video. Oh, no, here we go. Here's the picture. So you got Susie Q, who's just like a cheerleader.
Okay.
You got the Twinkie dude. Yeah.
He's going down
he's
hard.
He's the cowboy.
Twinkie
the Twinkie.
He doesn't have a chance.
You got the king.
He's filled with cream.
The King Don guy. You know those
king,
things? King Dong. Don. Huh? What are those called? They were called Ding Dongs?
Don't not act like you don't know what they're called.
I don't remember.
You just don't want to say King Dong.
I can't remember.
That's the worst thing you've ever done. What is it? Is it Dlawn?
Is it? But
I don't know how to say this word.
No, but I thought they were not.
Is it Merv?
Oh, no. Okay, so he's King Ding Dong. King Ding Dong.
King Dong to his friends.
One of them's an alligator. They got an alligator.
Oh, yeah. Who is he?
The Crunch. Crocodile Crunch.
Crocodile.
There you go.
Yeah.
You got the crocodile. You've got... the Chief Big Wheel. I guess that was the Big Wheel a thing?
I don't remember that.
Then you've got the Captain. Captain Cupcake.
Okay.
Are any of these racist? Because I'm seeing the picture, one of them is.
The Native American Chief one's pretty bad.
I can see the Chief from over here.
It's pretty bad. Yeah, again, it's the 70s. They didn't care who they offended.
No.
None of that would even have been a consideration back
then.
That
would have been like an added
thing. Right, exactly.
That would have been a bonus.
Yeah. But then
I love the mascots. Can we make any of them more racist?
You got Happy Ho Ho there too.
Is that a girl or a boy?
Looks like a dude. He's dressed like Robin Hood.
Oh.
Kind of like a little feathered cap and gloves and boots.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I bet he's friends with the king.
But I don't see the wizard here anywhere. Oh
Fruit
no, there
pie?
He is. There he is, Fruit Pie the magician. There
I think he
is.
He was the main guy.
He's in the hot air balloon.
He's the.
Oh, and there's
magician.
A little bee too. I guess the bee is for the honey bun.
Okay. Yeah. He's got to stop.
Dude, right there, the bee ends it for a lot of people. People
Happy
are scared
Ho-Ho
of bees.
From Robin King Dong.
Why in the 70s were all the colors so like
muted
and like everything's yellow?
Yeah.
And green?
I don't know.
No idea.
It's a good question.
It is definitely a thing, though. Clothes, too, back in the day.
Do you or anybody on the stream remember Time for Timer? He was a little spindly yellow dude that looked like he was made of earwax, and he lived in your refrigerator. And when you didn't have time to eat right, this is for all the poor kids. Like, if you didn't have time to eat right, he'd be like, a slice of Swiss cheese will do, poor kid. Like, maybe it was just in South Roxana, because it ran all the time.
What was he called?
Timer.
Ding dong.
Time for Timer.
So he was a spokesperson for cheese?
No, he was a spokesperson for poverty. I mean, it was just like, hey, if your parents aren't home and you don't have anything to eat, open up that big cold box and see what we got. It's true.
There was the one.
He's like, old pepperoni? That won't kill you. Eat it, kid.
There was a...
Gotta eat something.
There was a cartoon like that.
What
as
are you gonna
part
do?
Of,
wait for dad to come home?
What was the thing called on Saturday? Was it just called Saturday Morning Cartoons? Like they had the whole like that's where they had the what do you call it? Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah.
And they had the one like the hanker for a hunk of cheese.
Yeah,
and
that's
a bunch
him.
Of those.
That's him.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's
Timer.
Okay. Yeah.
So he was a spokesperson for cheese.
I feel like he was selling the other things besides cheese.
Yeah, he was just suggesting a hunk of cheese.
But it would make sense because he looks like cheese.
Did he have any other? He must have been cheese.
Didn't he have a top hat?
He's wearing a cowboy
and a cane?
Hat. Like a cowboy hat.
Really?
And a bolo tie.
Yeah, if I were him, I would not be walking around putting the idea of eating things in people's heads, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I'd be like, too bad we can't eat anything around here.
He kind of looks like a bug.
Mm. That's a weird. Yellow bug?
Yeah, it's weird.
Kids today, they have Jake Paul selling them stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there any other? Was it just a cheese commercial? Is that all there was? Was he just the cheese guy?
No.
Paid for by the cheese.
Oh, okay. So he is the avatar of circadian rhythm and the proclaimed keeper of body time. So he says, like, when you got to eat, you better do it.
Oh, so he's representing time.
He's representing our bodily needs and our body's functional
what an
clock.
Obtuse
I was
going to
say, those are
kids.
Deep thoughts
yeah.
for this kids watching cartoons.
Incredibly obtuse.
What's the description for
but
King
I can,
Ding
but
Dong?
But I'm 53 and I can still remember Hanker for a Hunk of Cheese.
Yeah.
His most famous is called Eat Some Kind of Breakfast. So,
see,
I remind kids
I
to
think
eat.
I'm right about
it. Rach, it was the 70s, man. They had to do a commercial on TV every night. It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
Yeah. His second most popular was Dad's Not Coming Home.